Well, good morning. Welcome to the Sustainable Living Program. Tanya and Jay are here. Jay's in the studio. Tanya's on the phone. Good morning, Tanya.
Hello, Tanya.
Tanya, can you hear us? Tanya? All right. Well, Jay, good morning to you.
Oh, can you hear me now?
Yes, we can hear you now.
Ah, sorry. Glad to be here, even if it is from home. How's everyone there doing?
We're doing well.
Wonderful.
And I hope your little patient is on the mend.
Oh, yeah. No, she's feeling better. We're self-quarantining just to be safe. So I'm really excited about today's show. Jay, do you want to...
Yes, we're very fortunate this morning. We have Anna Gibbs from Duke Energy, who's going to be on the program today. Anna is a proud UCF graduate with degrees in political science and communications. She spent a decade each working in television, including the Weather Channel, and then at the Florida Department of Environmental Protection as external affairs manager. And for the past 5 years, Anna has worked in corporate communications and is a senior communications consultant for Duke Energy. So welcome to the program, Anna.
Thank you so much for having me this morning.
Oh, we're delighted to have you. I understand you're going to help us navigate through some ways that we can reduce our energy consumption at home. And so I'd look forward to hearing a little bit more about your background and how you come to this area of expertise.
It's a pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me.
Sure.
So, and you know, the Duke Energy, and a lot of people don't even pay attention really to where they get their power from, but Duke Energy is one of the largest energy holder companies in the United States, employing 30,000 people, and has an electric generating capacity of 51,000 megawatts through all of its regulated utilities. So it's a really large company, one of the largest in America. So, I mean, again, thank you for coming in and talking to us about, obviously, something that's important to everybody in the community, which is saving some money, also reducing their environmental impact through energy conservation. Hello?
Absolutely. So I wanted just to start by giving some tips on how the average homeowner, I know there's a lot of us that can actually be working from home right now. And so one of the main things that we're seeing customers struggle with is perhaps seeing an increased usage because what used to be just, an empty home during the day oftentimes is now becoming classroom, a business, and everything else you can think of because a lot of people are working from home. So if we want to start there, I'd be happy to share some of the easy ways that people can actually save on energy usage while they are working from home.
That's a great idea. I would love to hear it.
Okay, awesome. So believe it or not, one of the majority, when you look at your energy bills, one of the things at home that causes the most energy usage is your AC. So, of course, we live in Florida. And when we live in Florida, we want a cool home. And a lot of times people don't recognize that your thermostat can actually use a lot of your energy. So we recommend setting that thermostat at 78 degrees Fahrenheit. And for every degree that you're able to maneuver up, you can actually save 5% of your cooling costs. And that's an important thing to remember. So I know that some of us like to be in the 60s on the thermostat because they like it nice and cool. But again, for every degree that you're willing to maneuver it up, and of course I'm talking in the summer, that you will save 5% of that cooling cost. So I don't know, what you keep it at home, but 78 degrees is key to helping reduce that cost. And again, that AC cost is the majority of your energy bill.
Well, I'm not a math major, but I can see that by raising my temperature by 5 degrees, I could save 25% of my energy bill. That is amazing.
Absolutely. And let's not forget that, there's a lot to keeping your AC, your air conditioning healthy. So everything from cleaning your filters, having your AC inspected, Of course, don't cool an empty house. So, you know, if you are having some sort of staycation where you may be going somewhere around Florida this summer, because, of course, we all know what's happening, you know, throughout, that you may not be going far, but you may be going away, closing your blinds, grilling outdoors because, you know, doing your oven. Of course, when you turn on your oven, it kind of warms your house. Even your fans. So if you keep your fans on a room that is what I would consider, you know, empty, so your fans only cool you and not the home. So don't turn on a fan in a room that's empty. So all of those things that are associated with keeping the home cool are things that you can do just to overall save while you're actually, you know, trying to stay comfortable but not wasting any sort of money while trying to stay comfortable. So I'll pause there in case anybody wants to comment on your AC and trying to keep your house cool while saving money.
And I think that there's some, is there some product or AC that you use as far as dehumidifying your house without necessarily air conditioning it? How do you feel about that? Will that save you money in the long run?
I don't know about it saving, because unfortunately everything that you run will actually obviously cost money, so it might even out in the end, but I always say it's a balance, right? And some people, please know, use dehumidifiers for health. So we always talk about it has to be comfortable enough so that you are feeling comfortable and healthy, because there are some, for some people, some health considerations, but also so that you are comfortable at the end of the month when that bill comes in. So it's a little bit is, of course, of personal choice, because we all know we have to sleep at night, and some people have to have that temperature down so they're not waking up every 5 minutes sweating. But just a lot of it is just being educated to understand what you can do so that it helps in running that AC at a lower temperature, or I should say a higher temperature, but also those other things when we talk about, you know, reducing the fan usage if you're not in the room, closing those blinds, anything that you can do to help is in the end going to reduce those bills.
So once you get the air conditioning, the cool air into your house, a lot of people lose that cool air, and obviously through different ways. Is there a place that we lose our cool air more than others that we should watch out for?
So a lot of that has to do with what I would consider not extreme home improvements, but a variety of different things that you can do to your actual home to keep that air inside. So one of the things that and I'll just talk in generalities, because your listeners are going to come from a variety of different areas. They may not necessarily be a customer of ours, but most energy companies offer what's called a home energy check. So losing that air could be through ducts, could be through, and I'm talking about the ducts that come, you know, once you turn on that air conditioning, there's ducts in your attic that feed that air into rooms. If your ducts are not sealed properly, you can go ahead and lose some of that air, and we don't want that, right? Because then you're just kind of cooling your attic, and it doesn't get to where you need to go. You know, the insulation also helps, and even your windows, whether they're sealed or whether you have the adequate windows to keep that air cooled in your home. And so we actually offer, many companies do, what's called a home energy check. And so we act for free. For free, we will actually analyze how your energy is being used throughout the home. And through that energy check, you can actually get certain programs and rebates that will help you pay for some of those services. So the audit, for lack of a better word, on how you're using that energy is free. But then you may, you know, our auditor, our person may determine that, hey, it looks like you're losing, you know, your AC is running, a little bit more than it should, or there may be something that they identify, and you may need somebody that's something more than just our auditor. And those services, we actually offer a program that you'll get actual rebates back, so it'll help you pay for that. And the example is a duct test, so you can get up to $150 back on that duct test, or you can get up to two. Go ahead.
No, you're fine. I just wanted to let you know that I actually do came out to my house probably about a year and a half ago, and did the home energy audit in my house, and it was absolutely wonderful. The person was phenomenal. they came out and they put a fan in my door, and they were able to measure the square footage of my house, and it was within less than a minute. And they also, you know, they made a lot of recommendations. They checked the insulation in the attic to make sure that was adequate and there weren't any areas that were having air leak out. They checked the windows, and they even left me with a goodie box full of LED light bulbs, things to help you seal your windows and your doors, the weather sealer. They left us with a lot of different products to help. So, and made some really great recommendations, including window tint on the doors that were in full sun to cool down that area of the house, and it made a big difference.
And I would say, at least, again, check with your energy provider and ask them what they offer. The different energy companies will offer you different kinds of rebates for different kind of products. And I think what's important, and I'll just speak specifically for Duke Energy, for you to get those rebates, you definitely have the energy audit first. So that's really important. So please call us first, get that energy audit first. It's important to us that what you're investing in is things that is actually going to reduce your energy bill, and basically you're going to see a difference at the end. So that's what we're striving for, is making changes in your home that is actually going to reduce your energy bill. So in other words, investments that's going to pay you back, and in addition to pay you back in the reduction in energy usage, will also actually offer you that rebate. And it's everything from, I mentioned the ducts, but there's an insulation, but you can actually get rebates back for your AC and actually even your windows. The AC is probably the largest one. You can get up to $100 back depending on how efficient your AC is that you purchase. Window insulation, work with us. We'll tell you exactly what you need to put in to be sure that you qualify for that rebate. But I think it's a great program because you kind of get in double back, right? You're going to save on your energy bill. You're going to save on getting that rebate back again. Definitely get the audit first to qualify for the rebate.
That's a great recommendation. How do people actually sign up to get a home energy auditor to their house? Is there a phone number or website that they could go to?
Yes, you can find us on duke-energy.com. I think that's easy to remember, duke-energy.com. The phone number, I know for driving, do not try to write this down, but it's 800-700-8744, 800-700-8744. And again, please know, here in Florida, we don't compete to get different customers for our energy. You have an energy provider, so whoever that is, usually it's located on the back of the bill. Just call your energy provider, see what program. A lot of the energy companies offer that audit. It's usually free. For ours, it's free. And see what they can offer you. A lot of them have something similar to this. So it's important that you check it out.
And it makes perfect sense that you would get the data first and identify problem areas before you start tackling them. And I imagine that part of that audit would be looking into the type and kind of air conditioning unit you have. And I realize that, you know, Tanya was speaking about humidity levels and so forth, that some of the newer high SEER air conditioners also have variable speed fans that sort of let the air linger a little bit longer over the coils to pull out some of that humidity. So I'm sure that probably factors into your audit.
I mean, yeah, they look at it's pretty amazing what you can tell now as far as the information that we're able to see. So they're looking at everything from your AC. They're looking at your ducts. They're looking at your how much insulation you have. And they can tell on some level kind of where the energy is being pulled from as far as let's face it, right? Some of us, no judgment here because I have teenagers. And so some of us have two or three fridges. So they can once they're in your home and they're kind of looking at the appliances you have and different things, they can kind of tell where your energy is being used, and they can give you recommendations of what you can do to just overall reduce that energy usage. We have 1.8 million customers in Florida, 35 counties throughout the state that we serve. So about over a million of our customers right now have what's called a smart meter. So some people by that particular smart meter can actually log into their account right now and actually see how much energy they're using per day. It's a very specific way to analyze your energy usage. So some of them already, some of our customers have that at their fingertip right now. We encourage them to use that as a way to kind of look and see how that, you know, the movement of energy per day so that they can kind of adjust accordingly. If it's just an easy way to see, you know, how that energy is being used and adjust accordingly. It's important to remember that all of us have the power to actually adjust and minimize energy usage, which ultimately saves us money at, you know, when our bill comes in every month.
Absolutely. And I want to remind our listeners that you're listening to the Sustainable Living Show here on 88.5 Tampa. And today we're talking about home energy conservation with Anna Gibbs from Duke Energy. So, Anna, we're talking about home energy and appliances. What are some of the biggest, energy suckers as far as appliances go?
So I would say this is probably the ones that are intuitive. So think of your refrigerators, think of your water heaters. Those are the things that are probably the ones, you know, outside of the AC that we've already talked about that actually take up the most energy. So I kind of joked already about a lot of us have multiple refrigerators, but even when you're using that fridge, you know, there's some things that are counterintuitive. A lot of people, for example, when they, you know, go away and go on vacation, they empty their fridge. But believe it or not, a fridge that's actually packed pretty full is easier to stay cool than one that is emptied. So a fridge works harder to stay cool when it's empty, which is a lot of us, right, throw everything away before we go away for vacation or, you know, visit family. So it's actually better to keep that freezer and that fridge full because it stays cooler easier. And the same thing with your water heater. So your water heater actually is another one that takes up a lot of energy. And I would say keep the water, and I say it's cool, but, you know, it takes a lot of energy to keep that water warm. And so if you are going away for an extended period of time and you don't need that water, because just think about it, every time it cools down, it worked hard to bring that temperature back up, the water temperature back up. So those are the types of things that, you know, we think about that are major appliances. And then we have things that are called vampires. So for those of us in the media, we always try to do kind of things that are kind of catchy. So during a lot of times coming up for Halloween, we'll do a story that's the vampire appliances that people don't think about because they actually, they suck up the energy even though they're technically not even on. So if you think about a pilot light, and for those that don't know a pilot lights are that red light that stays on even if you're not using the appliance. So an easy one that I think about is your cable box. So if you look at your cable box, whether you're using your cable or not, there's usually a red light that stays on. And so a variety of other systems are like that. Another one that I can think of is if you have kids and they use a gaming console, usually they're another one that has that red light or some sort of light that stays on whether you're using it or not. Well, just know that any item that has a light like that stays on is sucking up the energy, whether it's technically being used or not. So depending how serious you want to be about saving energy, we recommend that you actually turn those items off, and I mean completely unplug them so that it's not using energy while it's just sitting there kind of on standby mode.
And you know, I've seen a few people, and I think I may have even seen the recommendation on your website as well, where if there's items that are able to be unplugged that you're a known energy suckers, to put them on a power strip. And yes. Then when yes. You leave the home, it's a quick on and off, just for put all of them on one or a few easy power strips that you can just put on and off really easily. Is that something you recommend?
Definitely. So, yes, if it is easy for you to put those, for example, I mean, that's a great example when you have it, your cable box, your game console, put those on the power strip and just flip it off on that power strip when you walk away. Because that is just, you know, they seem to be kind of congregated together, and then you don't even have to think about it as far as having to unplug them individually.
And I think it's important for our listeners to know that that while that red light is on, it is consuming electricity, but often these things also are producing heat. So all of those little chargers and everything that we leave plugged into the wall may be generating the heat that we then need to use our air conditioning to get it out of the house.
That's a really good point. Yes, absolutely. And, you know, it's basically just, and you'll find them all over the house. Some of your more modern coffee makers do it. Again, just listen to that little red light. You know, of course, we by no means are recommending that you unplug your oven or anything that's large like that. More of the more movable appliances that are smaller in size that are really easy to maneuver are the ones that, you know, we're thinking about. But again, we call them, you know, vampire use because of how you don't even really, you know, they're not even on, and yet they are literally sucking energy and, you know, costing you money when you really don't. You really don't need to, you know, it's a cost that you don't really need to have.
Absolutely. And I want to remind our listeners again that you are listening to the Sustainable Living Show here on 88.5 Tampa. Today we're talking about home energy conservation, how to save money in your home by reducing your energy. And we are talking with Anna Gibbs from Duke Energy. And if you have any questions for Anna, please email us at dj@wmns.org or give us a call at 813-239-9663. And I also noticed light bulbs can be a huge power suck. If you have older light bulbs, is there anything that you suggest that people do?
Absolutely. You can definitely trade out all of your light bulbs for, of course, the more cost energy saving LED light bulbs. And in fact, if you, again, go on our website, duke-energy.com, we have great resources for you to actually put in and see how much you can save as we, you know, we made a ton of different suggestions today. And we have these great calculators that you can individually see as you trade different things out in your home, how much you can save, you know, per 1,000 kilowatt hours. So, which will hopefully help encourage you to make these changes. Between light bulbs, you know, your AC, unplugging these items or, you know, clicking off that, power strip for those vampire items, you could see a very notable difference in your monthly power bill.
And I noticed I'm sorry for interrupting.
No, go ahead.
So I noticed on Duke Energy that you guys have something called a high bill alert. Like, let's say that actually, you're the expert. Would you mind explaining us what a high bill alert is?
Yes, absolutely. So you can actually receive an alert if your bill is projected to be either 30% or $30 higher than usual. So what happens is our system looks back and looks at your bill historically and to determine that if, you know, based on what you've been doing before, if it looks like your bill is going to be, you know, basically much higher than it's been in the last month or months past. And then halfway through your billing cycle, it looks and sees and says, based on where we are in the halfway midpoint, does it look like on your current, you know, halfway through, that current usage halfway through, does it look like your bill is going to be considerably higher? And because, again, considerably higher meaning defined as either 30% more or $30 higher than usual. And we will actually text you an alert to let you know, like, hey, based on your current trajectory, it looks like we don't want you to be surprised at the end. None of us want to be surprised when we get that bill. So, again, you just can sign up. You can call us up for it. You can sign up through the website. And again, I really want to represent all of the energy companies saying that please, 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 please communicate and talk to your energy company because all of us have different kinds of alerts and different kinds of, ways to communicate with you so that you know and are not surprised at the end of the month what happens. And I'm so grateful that you guys are doing this show because this is the season. As temperatures get higher, there's kind of two whammies right now, right? One, summer, we call it summer high bills because what happens is as the temperature gets warmer, just because the temperature itself is warmer, we talked about the ACs are working harder to keep your home actually, you know, cooler, even if you keep it at the same temperature. So it's just an unfortunate thing in Florida is as the temperatures get warmer, our bills are going to get higher.
But the double whammy is kind of like how we started the show. Because more people are staying at home, and not only is it more people, right? It's not just us who are working from home, but you have kids that are now staying at home, and you're running your, you know, classroom from home, you're running your businesses from home. Inherently, you're using more energy. So we are definitely hearing from customers that they are getting kind of surprised at how their energy bills are definitely higher than what they anticipated. So it's just really important. Again, thank you for doing this kind of show to hopefully help people reduce their bill or at least create an awareness of what's happening in their home and why they're seeing this kind of difference, especially in the last few months. And we all know it's only going to get warmer in the next few months. So it's important that people really pay attention to what's happening.
Exactly. And again, I want to remind our listeners who are listening to the Sustainable Living Show here on WMNF 88.5 Tampa. We have Anna Gibbs from Duke Energy explaining to us some home energy conservation tips and a little bit more than that. So on the list, obviously replacing your regular lights with LEDs, but that brings me back to the topic of where are we getting our energy from? And I know that Duke previously, I think, was at 2% of their energy manufacturing from solar. I think they moved up to about, 7%? But then they have a projection in the next 10 years of moving up to 17% solar farming, correct?
Well, we made some really cool announcements recently. So back in 2017 or so, we signed an agreement that said that between that 2022, we were going to create about 700 megawatts of new solar. And so think of a huge, it's kind of even hard to imagine unless you've seen it in person, because it's kind of a maze of solar. When we create these new plants, it's 75 megawatts. When we started way back in 2018, when we started building them, they were 300,000 panels for 75 megawatts. And so that covers about 500 acres. So literally it's about 500 acres of nothing but solar panels. And so it's a total of about 10 plants. So just do the math, right? It takes about 10 plants to get to that 700 megawatts if they're each about 75 megawatts. We just announced in the last month the last three of those, because of course you have to kind of acquire each, either lease or buy the piece of land. And then it takes under a year to actually build it from start to finish. And like I said, this past month, we actually announced the last three as far as location. And we just actually announced that we finished the last couple. One is, closer to the other side of the state. One's out in DeBary. One is further north, but in North Florida. And the only reason they're kind of way out there, you're not going to hear us building any in like our area here, is just because it does take so much land. So a lot of our plants are like in North Florida because they do take about 500 acres. So the next three are, think of like Manatee County, one's in Hardy. So again, we just need open land to create those. But even beyond, so basically by the end of 2021, we're going to finish that 700 megawatt commitment. But even past that, we're saying that by in the next 10 years, we're going to be up to about 1,700 megawatts of solar. Again, very exciting. Too soon to say in the next 10 years all of those plants are going to be, but still very exciting as far as total megawatts of solar. And just recently there was a report out that our state is probably going to creep up and be probably number two in the nation of solar, shortly. Again, all very exciting news when it comes to solar. And even also exciting is, I kind of told you a second ago that, when we first started building these plants, it would take about 300,000 solar panels to put out about 75 megawatts over, 500 acres. Right now, it's taking about 240,000. So just think of the technology is making those solar panels a little bit more efficient. So we need less solar panels to create and generate that same amount of megawatts.
And that's I had one question for you, and then we have a caller. Do people have to choose solar when they choose where they get their energy from Duke, or is it, does it automatically kind of go automatically to 7% of their energy goes from solar, or do they, is there something they have to click to say, yes, I want to buy solar?
Nope, it goes out, like once it's generated, it goes straight down to the grid, it serves all of our customers, so you definitely do not have to pick solar.
Awesome. And then Carl, I think from Pinellas County is on line three, Rob?
Yeah, Carl, can you hear us?
Yes.
Okay, what's your question for Ann Gibbs of Duke Energy?
I just wanted to comment that I would love to unplug my cable boxes, but every time you unplug them, they reboot when you turn them back on. That's all.
Oh, I understand. It's an inconvenience. Meaning, like, I know exactly what you're talking about. It takes several minutes for it to come back on.
Yeah, so maybe only when you're leaving for like a couple
while.
Of days, but not if you're leaving for an hour.
Yep, and I understand that, and that's very similar to the AC situation when I go out and talk to people about putting their AC at 78. There are some people that laugh at me and say, they tell me, like, there is no way that I can survive at 78 on the thermostat. So a lot of this is, we love to share the information, and you definitely have to do what's right for you and your family, because while I am very happy at 78, because I don't mind, you know, that temperature on my thermostat, I have definitely spoken to people, my parents included, who are in their 70s, and to them, that is way too hot. They cannot, that's not something that is comfortable for them. So it's always a balance between what's right for you, your family, and what's comfortable, and just recognize there are a lot of people that tell me I will pay for comfort, and that's okay too.
Absolutely. And Carl, also, there's also smart outlets that you can control from your phone. So if you're leaving to go to work, you can control your thermostat and outlets from your phone to turn them back on again so that everything is working by the time you get home, which is kind of a neat new option. And Rob, I think you had a couple questions for Anna.
Well, let me ask Anna some questions. You're listening to the Sustainable Living Program on WMNF. So Anna, when you talk about this great achievement by 2021, installing 700 megawatts of solar, how many homes will that power?
So each one powers between 20 and 23,000 homes. And so, but again, you know, we say that because people want some sort of measure, you know, of, hey, if you have that many, if you're putting out that much in, you know, 75 megawatts, how much does that power? So it's more like of a comparison. It's important to recognize that it's not a situation where it's not like if the power goes out, it would actually power a section or a neighborhood or 20,000 homes. It's just a comparison, a measure of how much that type of megawatt. How much it would actually feed into if you were trying to compare, because kind of like I described, it goes back onto the grid and it just goes out to everybody. But if you were to do a comparison, that's how much 75 megawatts of solar would, you know.
Is there the technology to have battery storage so that the solar that you generate during the daytime can be used in overnight?
So we actually do have battery. We are investing in battery storage and technology. We did this great program with actually here in our area, USF, St. Pete, and Tesla. You know, it's definitely something that we look into. The struggle is, so let me finish answering your question and then I'll kind of explain based on the comparison we just did. So we are, again, in North Florida looking into battery storage in a different way on we're using large batteries to even out the, what I'll call the flow of energy through our system. And not how we typically think of battery storage, but we are definitely using battery storage as part of our system. Mm-hmm. When most people think of battery storage, right, they think of exactly how we just described. Battery storage in terms of if the power goes out, we use that battery storage to keep the lights on. So that may be coming at some point in the future. But for comparison, if we even put battery storage, and it would take, think of the size of, right now, the size of battery storage is more like the size of a semi-trailer, right? That's the size of battery storage. But even if we got several of those and hooked them up to that particular, you know, one of those, I just kind of described to you, it would keep about 20,000 homes on. So right now the challenge is actually technology, right? That, again, even with solar, the amount of, we're excited that the solar panels are becoming more efficient, down from 300,000 to 240,000. And hopefully both the number of solar panels and also the size of the batteries will come down. So one day we'll be closer to that vision of we'll be able to have that. Now, that doesn't mean that, and again, this is the kind of technology we're looking at, perhaps, and this is where generators and that kind of battery comes into, you can specify sites that may help. Let's just think of things like here in Florida and hurricanes. Maybe you hook up a battery to a specific hurricane shelter or things like that. But right now, the technology isn't quite there yet that we could keep everybody on based on batteries. I hope that makes sense.
Right? Yeah, it does. Anna Gibbs is our guest. This is the Sustainable Living Program, and you're listening to 88.5 FM. So what about coal? How much do you still generate from coal, Duke Energy does?
Very minimal. I can tell you in a second because I have to look it up, but I mean single digits, very minimal. We only have 2 units left. And over time, you know, we built the combined cycle plant up in Citrus. So we had 4 units. We're down now to 2 after we built that combined cycle. So, you know, the overwhelming majority in the 70% range is actual natural gas.
Natural gas, huh?
And yeah. So
and
very minimal.
Are there rebates for hot water heater blankets? Is there such a thing as if I were to put a blanket on my hot water heater to save energy, do I get a rebate?
We do not have a rebate for that. So probably the two most common, you know, we get a lot of questions about rebates. The ones that I've told you about are the majority of rebates that I think I mentioned already on the show. And the other more common, too, that I hear is solar, and we do not really have that either anymore. You know, it's just, unfortunately, that. And when I'm talking about solar rebates, I'm talking about the ones, of course, that you put on your home, the rooftop. So a lot of those are more generated through statewide programs, and that's not available anymore.
I know on some bills there's a fund for low-income people who have trouble paying their energy bill. Is there a program in Duke Energy's service area for low-income people who have trouble, especially during these summer months, paying their electric bill?
Actually, I'd love to talk about that for a second right now with COVID and so many people struggling to pay their bills. So for right now, Duke Energy, for the time being, is not cutting off anybody who cannot pay their bill. So, which is a very rare, in fact, in my lifetime, I can't remember this ever happening. So Duke Energy specifically. So this is important because I keep going back and forth between all companies versus Duke Energy. So Duke Energy specifically, Duke Energy Florida specifically, is not, if you cannot pay your bill right now, we are not, we call it cut for non-pays, meaning we are not cutting your power if you cannot pay your bill.
And how long will that last?
So right now, we do not have a specific date. I would ask our customers to stay very vigilant. We will definitely contact people like you in the media. We will send our customers emails and letters, communication, I'll say, to tell them when we will resume what's called normal billing. But right now we're not actually cutting anybody off for not being able to pay their bill. I'm
sorry.
I would also ask, though, you know, there's a difference between forgiveness and deferment. So this is a deferment, which means at some point, as you ask, right, how long, and I can't give you a specific date because we have not said until when, but at some point, whether it's, you know, next month or the month after that, we will collect on those bills. So I think it's really important that customers understand that at some point, because we've been doing this since March. So at some point, all of these bills will be due, and that it is important that customers pay what they can. So if you envision, you know, you may have a $100 or $200 bill every month, and if you add those up, at the end of all this,
adding all of those up could be really overwhelming. So we encourage our customers to pay what they can along the way, or even call us to make a payment plan so they can start kind of eating away at you know, the bills that are kind of have been building up. I mean, we think that's important, because if you just wait and not pay anything at all, you could be talking about several hundred dollars worth of bills that will eventually come due. Now, of course, we will work with our customers. We will set up payment plans. But I think it's just prudent to try to pay something along the way if you can, or at least set up a payment plan so it doesn't become overwhelming when the bills, you know, become due. We've also waived, now these are just fees that we've waived. We've waived return check fees. We've waived late fees. We have waived credit card fees. So we've waived other things also along the way because of COVID as a way to try to help our customers. And as you mentioned, there are programs even outside of Duke. So traditionally we have a variety of programs through our what we'll call our nonprofit partners. So Duke Energy, I will say, generates the funding, for lack of a better word, but we are the funder of a program, the Energy Neighbor Fund, and then we actually provide the funding to a variety of partners that's divvied up by each county, and you can find that on our website. So we give them the funding, so it's distributed, though. A lot of times the actual county partner is the United Way, but there's a variety of them in each county. And then they, you know, so the actual customer then collects, or I would say, it's processed so they get that funding directly from our nonprofit partner. So we don't distribute it directly. We're just the provider of the funding to that nonprofit. Now, because of COVID, we would also encourage our customers to look at their county, because there are several of our counties that have additional funding that is different and unique than the usual. And they just, again, they have to qualify, but part of that funding allows them to pay their utility bills. And so even though that right now we are not shutting anybody off for non-payment, again, at some point it's going to be due. And since the actual funding is available now, whether it be through the nonprofit or through your county, we would encourage them to take a look at some of those opportunities. So again, when it comes due, you know, it's better to do it now while they have this grace period. So I hope that helps.
It does. Anna Gibb is with us. She is a spokesperson for Duke Energy, which has a lot of customers here in our listening area. And our email address is dj@wmnf.org. And our phone number is 813-239-9663. Tanya Harmon is here, and Jungle Jay is here. And Al in Bradenton has a question for our guests. So, Al, you're on the air. What's your question?
Yeah, I just wanted to make a comment about the setting the thermostat for air conditioning. Literally, when my wife and I go to our kids' houses, we take a flannel shirt with us. That's how cold they keep it. But we keep ours at 80 during the day, 78 at night. And when you come in from outside, when it's 94 degrees and there's no humidity, it's incredibly nice. But I think if people would just maybe increase their temperature just a little bit each day, I think they'd be able to deal with it.
I'm with you right there. My husband wants it at 84, 85, so we keep it at about 82. And when it hits 80 and 79, we are freezing. So I think it's just what you're used to.
All right, Al, thanks a lot. Thanks for that. And again, our phone number, 813-239-9663. Tanya, I just sent you an email question from one of our listeners.
Okay, let me see. So this email question is from Phil Klein. He said, my bill was about $150 for a 750-square-foot house. Next summer, it was $900 for 220. I'm not following what he's saying. I have rats who get into my house through a cooling vent. Could rats have compromised the ductwork? Can a section help? So I think it sounds like his bill increased significantly over 2 years, and if there's a, you know, do rats ever cause problems with the vent systems?
So that's a situation where we would actually have them call. I mean, so the numbers he just suggested where he said, you know,
Let's put it this way. If there's ever a time where your bill, based on just the numbers he shared, go from, you know, a $900 energy bill on a house that small, to me, that's a huge red flag, right? It shouldn't be like that.
Let me reread it. It was $150 for 1 year for a 750-square-foot house, and then the next summer, I think I read it wrong. It went from... ranged from $190 to $220. That's a lot of money for a 750-square-foot house.
It is. And so that is a situation, you know, I always say, whenever you have a question, again, regardless of what energy company you're working with, whoever your energy provider is, call your, you know, your 800 number. I call it generically, right? Whatever your customer service number is. Even without somebody coming out there, they will actually walk through your energy bill. So one of the things that they do is they look and see how much energy you used last year, how much energy you're using this year. And then they'll walk through, they'll ask you how old your AC may be. They'll walk through a lot of things with you to determine what has changed and try to see even over the phone if they can pinpoint what the problem is. Because even in our heads sometimes when we think, I did this and I think it's this, when they go kind of like through the questionnaire and ask you all these questions, they may find other reasons why there may be a problem. And so that's step one. You know, that's the easy over-the-phone conversation. If they kind of go through the conversation and they can't quite figure it out, and again, you might think it's X, Y, or Z because one thing has changed. Again, it is free to have one of our energy auditors to come out and look and see what's going on, and then make a determination if either one confirms what you think it is, or they may find something completely different at your home.
And will they crawl into your ducts? Will they go upstairs and look in your ducts? Okay.
They look in your so I will say this. They will crawl up into your attic and take a quick look, but they can't, quote-unquote, make a complete and total diagnosis. They can kind of say, like, hey, we think there's something wrong, and that's where you get your rebate. So your rebate to get your ducts looked at almost 100% cover that first duct inspection from a qualified contractor. So, you know, so it's even though I guess the best way to do it is they're good enough to, like, eye it and tell you something looks wrong. The rebate gets you enough to cover. And again, this is Duke Energy because all of the different energy companies will give you a little bit slightly different rebate. Ours almost covers your duct inspection. So that at least helps you get to where you need to be to make a decision of whether you need to proceed and actually invest into something more and get duct work done, or at least know that, hey, that's not the problem and you need to move on to something different.
Absolutely. I mean these are really good suggestions. And I think we have one more caller, Patricia from Seminole.
Yes, good morning. Two quick questions. About 10 years ago, I had a home energy check, and I think they blew insulation into my attic, and I think that the number was R19 was sufficient, and I want to know, did those numbers go up in the last 10 years? And the second question is, I'm trying to save money, and so I'm keeping my air conditioner at 79 degrees, but I heard that mold starts to grow if you go under a certain number. Is there a certain degree to prevent mold in a house on your air conditioner thermostat?
Good questions. All right. Anna, what would you say?
So, I would say this. If you said you had it 10 years ago, right? 10.
Right.
Okay, so 10 years ago, I would say this. You could absolutely, insulation you can have above what you just described. And in other words, and trust me, I am not a home inspector. I am not, so I want to be absolutely clear. But there are definitely insulation that is greater than that. If somebody came to your home and tell you that's what you needed at the time, and it was 10 years ago, I think it's worth calling our line and either one, having somebody else come out once again, because 10 years ago is a long time. There have been probably more than just insulation that has changed, and having them take a look at it if you have the time to do that. If not, they will just get on the phone with you and kind of go over things again. But I know, you know, I guess what I'm saying is I cannot tell you for sure what the code is. I can definitely tell you that there is insulation greater than R19.
And the other question was about mold. If you go below 79 or 78, you create mold in your ducts.
So So it's above. So if you're actually, if it's above. So I think what she's asking is, in other words, if you were to turn off, just to be extreme, right? If you were to turn off your air conditioning and just let your house, you know, nobody's going to do that. But like, let's say you put it to 85 degrees and it gets way too warm, and it can create a problem. It's complicated because it depends where you live and how, like if you live closer to the, you know, where I live, it might get more moisture just because I live closer to the water. So I would say this, again, you can actually have that tested to determine, and it's pretty individual. And I, again, if you have, for example, if you have wood in your home, it is a very individual question, and I say that because I would never want to tell you that your home is okay to put at 82 or 83 degrees, and you have wood floors, and it ruins your wood floors. So 78 is pretty safe, but I would say depending on your home, you can literally have people come test the moisture in your home to determine what is safe for your home. And I hope that is making sense to everybody and understands what that means.
Absolutely. And I think that we have one more caller that we can probably fit in. Danny from St. Petersburg.
Yeah.
Danny, you're on.
Hi, am I on?
You are on, Danny.
Hi, thanks. I can't believe you guys are actually doing this show. With your ETA background, and I don't want you to take up a whole lot of time, but can you speak to the violations of the Atlantic Coast Pipeline would bring to the environment, and the violation to the indigenous lands that it will run through? Duke is running that Atlantic Coast Pipeline project.
So how about this? Because I know exactly what you're talking about. I know exactly what you're asking. I worked for the Florida Department of Environmental Protection for 10 years. The Atlantic pipeline that you're talking about is completely outside Florida's jurisdiction. If you give the show your phone number and contact information, I will get somebody from up north to give you a phone call back and answer your question.
Danny?
Oh, I'm sorry. I really couldn't hear that.
Danny, if you email us at dj@wmnf.org, we'll pass your phone number on because we're running out of time, and we'll try to get you that information. But that's a great question. I think that holding the power companies, you know, that they change will only come if we hold them responsible. So 100% we expect for them to make good decisions that's right for everybody in the entire community, not just what will make a profit. So I think that that's a really great question.
And also, I would like to say all these resources are stolen resources from stolen land, and it's extremely harmful to and really not sustainable using frack gas as a major source of power.
Absolutely. Yeah. And so, Anna, I have a question for you regarding that. Is that something that, now, would Duke, is it up to the people to demand Duke move more to solar and less to gas?
Well, it's complicated. So, you know, in our position, what we believe is that a few things. One, you need a diverse fuel, right? Diverse fuel to make sure that everybody has power. And while solar is still not, in other words, we could not sustain everybody and keep the power on if we just did solar, kind of like how we described, because solar only works when the sun is shining, right? And the technology isn't there yet. And we also have a responsibility to our customers to keep prices at a point that everybody can still afford it. So there's definitely some challenges. And to keep the power on, we just have to have diverse fuel. Right now, natural gas happens to be what is most, what I'll say, price-wise, happens to be what is how we can get keep the power on and make it affordable.
And I'm sorry to interrupt you. We have to move to the next show. Anna, thank you so much for coming on
to
the Sustainable Living Show here in WMNF Tampa. If you want to give your contact information, if somebody has any questions for you, that would be a great time.
Sure, absolutely. The easiest way to reach me is anna.gibbs@duke-energy.com. anna.gibbs@duke-energy.com. Feel free to email me if you have any questions.
Thanks so much, Anna. It's been great having you.
Thank you.
Well, Anna Gibbs has been our guest. She is a spokesperson for Duke Energy, and you've been listening to the Sustainable Living Program with Jungle J. Hardiman and Tanya Harmon, and this is 88.5 FM. So, Tanya and Jay, we'll see you in 2 weeks.
Absolutely.
Yes, we will.
Okay, with the Sustainable Living Program. And in this time slot next week, we'll hear the Health and Nutrition Program. Now stay tuned for the latest news, including news about a major Supreme Court decision right here on WMNF.